This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
I think, you know, doing good market research is critical to the success of any venture. So I think it's just taking the time and getting coached on how to do it right.
I'm Kip Meekum. Today we are speaking with Steve Grizzell, chairman of the Utah Valley Entrepreneurial Forum, or UVEF for short. We'll take more of the podcast on saying that name if we don't use the acronym. So, Steve, great privilege to speak to you today. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
UVEF has been around since 1989, and you were founded by the angel investment community, and largely those in Utah Valley. So talk for a moment about a little bit maybe about the history of UVEF and its purposes and how you're actually going about accomplishing those.
I wasn't there at the very beginning, so I'm going to speak sort of as an outsider in the sense that I wasn't part of the founding group, but I did attend early on the meetings. And people like Scott Fraser, who was also one of the founders of the Utah Angels, were key players in there. Steve Gibson, I believe, was a player as well in getting things going. I believe their goal was to provide a networking environment or networking forum where entrepreneurs and investors could interact with each other to educate and help lift the level of expertise of everybody involved in the process of starting, growing, and investing in new businesses.
And it's obviously evolved from those days. Is the core mission still the same? Talk about how you're going about answering those needs.
In a lot of ways, the organization has remained remarkably consistent since those early days. One of the things that I think differentiates it from other organizations that I'm a member, including being a board member on of other organizations, is I think it's held on to the interest of entrepreneurs more, early stage entrepreneurs. If you look at the actual attendees, the bulk of them are entrepreneurs that are attending and not, for example, service providers looking for business. So I think that's a good indicator that they've managed to stay on a course that meets the needs of their intended audience, the entrepreneurs and investors.
What's happening in Utah Valley in terms of notable, and by that I mean good or bad, acts of entrepreneurship that you've seen during your involvement since you're chairing the organization?
Well, I think one of the most notable events was the IPO of Omniture. That helped, I think, reestablish not just Utah Valley, but Utah back on the map of having some technology buzz. Going back is a long ways. I mean, Novell and WordPerfect, I think, are to
early
a certain
mid-90s.
Degrees the last time there was that kind of buzz here, not to diminish other IPOs that have occurred, but just my sense of a notable event. And I think at the broader level, the expertise, the sophistication of the entrepreneurs, the business models that are they're latching onto or they're utilizing, and the visions of market trends that they're trying to be on the leading edge of, I think that continues to improve. So that's kind of an incremental year by year. On the bad side,
any remarkable failures?
Remarkable failures. Well, you know, those can get you in trouble legally to talk about. I'm not sure which of the ones. There certainly continues to be enough hype. Certain companies that seem to have, rather than substance, hype, and have raised a lot of money, and
not necessarily converted on value for it.
Yeah. That unfortunately continues to be an issue that plagues Utah Valley.
That's a good segue, I think, to the next question. All entrepreneurs are facing challenges in growing their ideas into a viable business, creating the value beyond the idea itself. And for the Utah Valley entrepreneur, the Utah entrepreneur in general, I think there's perhaps the opportunity for stereotypes. Maybe you could comment on that. Are there stereotypes that they face that might complicate growth as they interact with the angel or the venture capital investment communities? You know, for example, are Utah entrepreneurs looked at as backwoodsy? And if so, how do they overcome that kind of stereotype?
Well, I don't think they're looked at as backwoodsy, and I'm not from Utah. I've been here about 16 years now, so I've got some experience locally. But you know, I've lived internationally and most of my career in other parts of the U.S. and the world. So I think I can speak reasonably confidently on that. And I don't think it's a backwoodsy or, I don't know, country rube or whatever is the stereotype. I do think that there's a perception, and I'm going to focus on California a little bit because that's where the out-of-state investors that matter most, I think, to those of us in Utah come from, that the out-of-state investors tend to be concerned that the management teams are too homogenous, they're too inbred, for lack of a better term, that it needs to be more diversity of backgrounds and experience, and that there's a weakness in market research in that people tend to make an assumption that everybody in the country or the world for that matter are just like their neighbors in what they want to buy and why they want to buy it. So if I hear anything that's kind of a criticism of Utah entrepreneurs, it would be those two points, that the management teams tend to be a little too inward looking and that there's not enough market research done.
Too much if you build it, they will come, perhaps?
Too much if you assuming that everybody thinks like us, so they'll buy this thing.
That's an interesting challenge to overcome.
Yeah, I think, you know, doing good market research is critical to the success of any venture. So I think it's just taking the time and getting coached on how to do it right. So I don't think it's that big a deal. I think it's just overlooked.
Stay with proven principles, and you can avoid the pitfalls.
Yeah.
On the flip side, are there stereotypes faced by the angel or venture capitalist, perhaps inside Utah, you mentioned California, you know, as they go about placing their investments to back the Utah entrepreneur? Are the entrepreneurs reasonable in their expectations of the investors?
In the same way that I think we've seen the growing expertise and experience in the entrepreneurial community, there's been a parallel growth in the investor community. The investors, similar to the entrepreneurs, were inexperienced and in some cases predatory on unsophisticated entrepreneurs, clearly looking to just exploit them, verging on illegal types of exploitation. So that, I think, while it still exists, I think it represents a smaller percentage of the pool of the active investors out there. So if there's stereotypes of Utah investors, it would be that they're less sophisticated, similar to the entrepreneurs. They may not be as plugged in about what are market deal terms or what are the hot trends in a particular industry segment or technology segment. That would be the stereotype, but I think the reality is that in the same way the entrepreneurs are becoming more sophisticated in the last 5 years, for example, so have the investors in parallel with them. Because it's an ecosystem, I think, ultimately, and people switch sides. I mean, successful entrepreneurs, if you look at the membership of the Utah Angels, for example, the most recent members are people who, a couple years ago, were, you know, created the dating sites, for example, are right. Now involved. So relatively recent entrepreneurial phenomena, but now they're wearing the investor hat. I think the angel groups have also had a real positive impact in providing a good network or a good forum for the angel investors to upgrade their quality, their experience, and the processes by which they make their investments as a group and educate each other as they go along. So I think that's been a real positive step forward, too.
Do you see any kind of trends or change in the mix of angel to institutional money finding its way into the deals in Utah, trending up more on the angel side or trending up more on the VC side?
That question needs to be dissected a little bit. I think the answer in Utah is the same as it is nationally, and that is the percentage of investments for early stage companies is increasingly done by angel investors because the venture capital funds themselves continue to increase in size, and they're trying to put so much money to play in a single deal that they really can't do million-dollar deals anymore, or sub-million, certainly. And so into that void has stepped angels and other non-traditional or non-venture capital sources of funding.
So it's a scalability question, as it were, for the institutional investor.
Correct. And the angels have stepped in to fill the void.
Any successes inside the Utah Valley Entrepreneurial Forum in that regard?
The Omniture IPO should certainly result in some really solid returns to the Utah Angels, who several of them were substantial investors in Omniture. Infopia, while it's a Salt Lake-based company, it was funded by the Utah Valley, or the Utah Angels, which is located in Utah Valley, and their recent $8 million investment from Hummer Windblad out of California, the same investors that are in Omniture, by the way. That should bode pretty well for the angel investors that were in Infopia. And so there have been some successful exits by the angels in companies, or if not exits, the follow-on rounds have been at good valuations and would lead you to believe that when they eventually get out, they should make some money.
Talk for a minute about the growth that's occurring in Utah and the impact on the entrepreneur as demands on, you know, scarce resources in terms of infrastructure, labor pool, you know, natural resources. I mean, are there issues coming to bear that are starting to have an impact on the Utah entrepreneur?
I actually would see it the reverse. I think the growth is providing and will provide more opportunities than it will resource constraints to entrepreneurs. Talking about, I don't know, is by the year 2020, the population along the Wasatch Front is supposed to have doubled. That's a lot of opportunity to satisfy all sorts of needs. You've got a young population to provide a growing workforce. You've got a savvy population to provide a, you know, an intelligent workforce. I see the resources being there for entrepreneurs to take advantage of the demand rather than being constrained by lack of programmers or lack of capital for early stage investors. I see the reverse. I see it as likely an increasingly positively benefiting entrepreneurs.
Chaos begets opportunity.
Growth begets opportunity.
How will UVEF evolve in order to meet the needs of those future entrepreneurs?
I think we have to stay on top of what current trends the entrepreneurs are not following, because then you're not on top of it, in front of. The trends they're in front of is they're trying to anticipate demands, future demands of this growing market. And it's not just Utah. I mean, the world, China and India continue to come up. Most recently, the governor said, look, we need to focus. We're a small place. Let's focus our efforts on four countries, Canada, Mexico, India, and China. And we'll let the rest of the world, you know, come to us to a certain degree because we only have so much marketing monies to target. And there's a lot of wisdom in those choices. I wonder, leaving Europe out entirely is a great idea, but nonetheless, if you've got to make four choices, those aren't bad ones. And I think that if we can also, as an organization, bring a bigger perspective, help bring the bigger perspective to entrepreneurs, then that'll also allow us to be serving their needs, and they'll show up for the luncheons.
If you could go to lunch today, Steve, with any three people alive in the world, who would you choose to go to lunch with and why? What would you talk with each of those individuals about?
I'd really like to meet George Soros, and I'd like to try and learn from him about how he sees the world of international finance working, and particularly the role of currencies in how our economy works on a global level. I think that he's been unique in his ability to really take a very complex topic and make billions of dollars in profit personally from it. And I'd like to learn that from him.
He's a fascinating, if not controversial, choice for the political demographic.
Yeah.
For the state, but a very interesting man.
My second one, I'd like to talk to George W. Bush and understand what he's thinking about what's going on in Iraq and what we hope to accomplish, or what we'll know, you know, where things are at, because that's a very confused situation for me right now. And I think being in a, you know, one-on-one situation to ask real questions and get real answers, assuming I could do that at this mythical lunch, would probably be my another choice. And then finally, I would like to meet with the founders of Google, and that's Sergey Brin and Larry Page, and try and get their vision of where they think e-commerce and search are going and how it's going to influence the economy, because my sense is there's some real money to be made on that particular edge.
The vein hasn't been tapped out yet.
I don't think so.
Steve, tell the listeners where they can go to learn more about UVEF and how it can be of service to them, please.
The web address is www.uvef.net.
Look there, find the calendar, find the lunches, and participate.
Correct.
We've been speaking today with Steve Grizzell, chairman of the Utah Valley Entrepreneurial Forum. Steve, thanks for an insightful podcast.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.